My guest at this time is Oklahoma Republican Congressman James Lankford. He represents the Sooner State's 5th Congressional District and is a member of the House Budget Committee. As members of the House of Representatives return to session today, a number of critical economic issues on the agenda. First and foremost, this vote on the proposal to raise the debt ceiling by more than $1 trillion. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
So glad to be with you.
Let's start with the vote today on the floor. The president wants $1.2 trillion in a debt ceiling hike. The House is expected to vote against that, but do you think you can vote against it in the numbers necessary to stop it from happening?
I think we'll be able to vote against it in very significant numbers in the House. When it goes to the Senate, they're either going to approve it or they're going to vote in a number high enough that I don't think we'll be able to override his veto of it, and that'll be the problem. So we will, and I fully expect us to be able to vote it down again today, but we'll see where we go from there.
And in terms of the statement you think you can make, obviously your hands are tied here. The president can veto your rejection. So what can you make in terms of a statement with this vote?
Well, the clear statement really is that we have debt, and that's a serious problem. But the biggest problem, bigger than the amount of debt that we have, is that we have no plan to get out of debt. The president's proposal last year takes us from $14 trillion to $26 trillion in debt in his budget window. $14 to $26 trillion in debt. There's no plan to slow this down. And so somewhat what we're saying is we don't approve of the addition of more debt because, especially, there is no plan. Now, if there was a clear plan to say we need to take out more debt and here's the plan to get out of it, there'd be some approval and people come on board to say, okay, this is short term, we're working our way out of it. Currently, it's just add more debt and act like there's no tomorrow when tomorrow is very much real.
Last summer, of course, he needed an affirmative vote to get the extension in the debt ceiling. When will you have that power again in the House?
It will probably be late this fall or possibly even next winter before we actually get to that spot because this 1.2 should carry him through the rest of this year, depending on how he continues to spend on it and where he has. Obviously, we have as a House and as a Senate has approved a budget, then he has the ability to be able to turn that up and down and be able to control the spending. We'd love to be able to see that spending get controlled and turned down.
Do you get the sense that there's any sort of consensus building on getting serious about this between the two parties? You wrote an opinion piece in Politico saying that you didn't think the two sides were that far apart on understanding the problem and where changes need to be made. But do you think that the two sides really are ready to make that deal in an election year?
Yeah, here's my frustration. As a freshman walking in last year, we pushed pretty hard on a lot of areas, and we're continuing to push hard. But all the people that have been here a while, all of our veterans that are here, will all say the same thing. During a presidential election year, almost nothing gets done because everyone digs in. The problem with that is the default mode that we're in right now makes it worse. Every single month makes it worse. And so we've got to be able to break through this. At some point, we've got to say the words unsustainable do have meaning. There is a rapid time approaching when we cannot get loans at the rate that we can afford at the level that we need. And at that break moment, whenever that comes, in whatever month or year that comes soon, we're going to have major issues, and we'd like to get ahead of that.
So in addition to being able to perhaps fight a debt ceiling increase about a year from now, what other ways can you make that stand to ward off the greater specter of a default?
Well, one of the big issues is our budget. The House has done a budget every year. The Senate obviously has not done a budget. As of next week, it'll be 1,000 days since the Senate has even done a budget at all. So one of the things that we can do immediately as a House is by the end of March, early April, get a budget out that makes the real proposals and puts it out there like we did last year. The frustration that we had with all the select committee and their negotiations this summer, what we proposed as a House last year through our budget process cut $5.8 trillion off of the next 10 years, $5.8 trillion. The select committee was supposed to find 1.2, just 20% of what we proposed. If they could find just 20% of what we proposed and agree to that, then we would have solved all the issues this past summer with the select committee. But instead, they dug in and said they would not even do 20% of our proposed cuts. We've got to get real at some point and say we have dramatically increased the size of government. We cannot keep doing this. It cannot be afforded. There are a lot of things we'd like to do. There's not a lot of things we can actually afford to do. So we've got to pull back.
The cuts being proposed in the Ryan plan and the budget that were passed, is that entirely cuts from proposed increases in spending? Is it split between real cuts and proposed spending decreases? What's going on there?
That's a little bit of both of them on that. It's a real cut in discretionary spending. That's that 40% of the budget that Congress has immediate control over. There are real cuts to that, reducing it from one year to the next. In fact, our proposal was to take everything back to the 2008 level of spending and basically reset us for this dramatic spending that happened with the stimulus plan in 2009, to say that was supposed to be a one-year anomaly, and instead Congress put that in as a permanent fixture into the baseline. So it's changed our trajectory. People think about the Bush times back several years ago and say we had very high budget deficits. Our highest budget deficit for any one year during the Bush presidency was $400 billion, which is large, but $400 billion was our largest deficit. The very first year of the Obama administration, it was $1.5 trillion. It has stayed well over $1 trillion in the next 2 years, $1.4 and $1.3 trillion. So it was not a one-year anomaly. It was a permanent increase in our budget deficit every year to over $1 trillion rather than a high point of $400 billion in the Bush presidency.
Oklahoma Republican Congressman James Lankford represents his state's 5th Congressional District, member of the House Budget Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.